A smile curved Felicity Forrest's mouth when her cell phone rang and she saw the name that flashed across the screen. "Hello? Are you ready for tomorrow night?" Sin asked. Felicity was taking the tube back to her flat in London to get ready for a weekend with Sin.
"Actually, unless they were up bright and early, people in this neighbourhood wouldn't see anything either. Here came a fog, handy and right on cue, billowing up the valley like a puff of pollution from inexhaustible chimneys somewhere further, out of sight. I watched it swamp the shadowed refinery like milk clouding coffee. Even the chimney flares blurred and disappeared, not fierce enough to cut through that dense, determined blanket. As I watched, it filled the valley from one high ridge to the other and kept on coming. I reached out a hand for my own splendid chimney flare and didn't need to look around to find him. I could do that by heat alone, my open palm a detector."
Dilly shook his head stubbornly.
"There'll be a house full of guests at Wynwood Hall. You can't be sure there won't be an eligible in the bunch. If she was here in town, I could at least keep an eye on her."
"You're besotted," Bertie declared unsympathetically. "If you insist on spending the next 2 weeks torturing yourself with these wild imaginings, there ain't a thing I can do." And he clapped his beaver on his head and made for the door.
Under the arch to the entrance of Turnham's Grand Concert Hall, high brick walls rose steeply on either side of a cobbled interior street that branched into White Lion Place, a grand name for such a squalid courtyard, before curving sharply and exiting onto Harrow Road. On his right, Daniel had a rolling Roman road leading him to Paddington Green, and opposite him, Iron Gate Wharf Road, which led to the basin of the Grand Union Canal and Paddington Station.